Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths. I've got this thermos, but I can say this is how I'm feeling.
And that's why we put one on each side.
And that's why we put one on each side. As anybody that's listening to this, I got a Stanley 1 liter thermos, vacuum sealed.
It could kill a bitch.
It actually locks to the lunch pail, but I didn't buy the lunch pail because I don't have that kind of money. And I got these waterproof Studio Ghibli stickers. And one side has an angry Princess Mononoke chibi. And then the other side has chibi Princess Mononoke happy. Well, not really happy, but just like
cute
with her two wolf brothers. I think they're brothers. Mm. You know what kind of coffee I made today?
No, what kind of coffee?
Highland Grog. The Bones Coffee Highland Grog. And I think it's supposed to be butterscotch caramel? It's my favorite Bones Coffee flavor. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, by the way.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, I'm full of rage.
How is your Valentine's Day? It's gonna be okay.
Yeah. So you're drinking the same coffee I'm drinking, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Unless we have a magical coffee pot that has different stuff pour out of it depending on who's drinking it.
That
which
is something...
would be an epic magical item for like D&D.
Oh yeah. I would like it.
Yeah.
I would like it a lot. So you could have your chocolate raspberry. I could have my Highland Grog. We'd be happy. No problems. Be all good.
So we're drinking the Highland Grog today.
Yes, we're drinking Highland Grog. It's smooth. It's delicious. I love it. I need to get a bigger bag of this.
We need to get a bigger bag of the chocolate raspberry.
We need to get two big bags of the, like, one big bag of each. And then I still want to try the electric unicorn flavor.
I don't think I saw that. What's that one supposed to be?
Fruit Loops.
Oh my gosh.
Not Fruit Loops. I think it's like Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, okay.
But like Fruity Cereal flavor, and I love everything fruity cereal flavor.
Except when every single one of your macarons tastes that way.
Listen, if you say it's raspberry and it tastes like fruity cereal, there's something wrong.
I agree.
I'm just saying. So today, what are we talking about? What are you talking about?
Norse Week.
Yeah, it's Norse Week. Get on the program.
So I researched Nidhoggr. And that's spelled N, I with an accent, D with a crossbar, H, O with an umlaut, G, G, R, among a whole bunch of other ways to spell it, including the anglicized Nidhogg, N-I-D-H-O-G. And it is the serpent that destroys the roots of Yggdrasil.
That's what we talked about last night.
It was in the story, yeah.
Okay, that's why you got all excited.
Yeah. So I purchased 3 translated books by Jackson Crawford. One hasn't arrived yet. And then an additional book by Neil Gaiman for Eliza. And she was reading it last night while I was doing art. And she's like, Nidhoggr. And I'm like, that's my thing. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
So Nidhoggr, his name can mean malice striker or curse striker. And you can find both of these used in different authors' translations of the Eddas. Now, what I ran across when I was researching him was, I remember like years ago I saw a post that was, it was actually about futuristic like space stuff, about how universal translators work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when does the translator know to stop translating? Because like, my dad's name means bear. So would it stop translating and say his name? Or would it translate all the way down and say bear?
That's a good question.
So that's what was interesting was when I was reading it, the translations, they had the Norse on the left, and then they had 2 different translations to the right of it. And one would use like Nidhoggr, and then the other would use Malice Striker. But then later on, the other one would translate all the way down and the other one would use like the actual name for something. So it makes you wonder, where do you stop translating? So he is described as a huge, bright-colored, flying dragon with front legs only that he uses to claw the roots of the world tree. and his back half is serpentine with no legs.
Oh.
He has spines all along his back and horns sticking off the top of his head. Of Norse dragons, he is special because most Norse dragons don't have wings and would probably be better classified as worms or drakes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm just going to pour myself a little bit more of this
here. Go for it.
It's like, I feel like Uncle Iroh with his teapot.
Because it doesn't have the handle.
Yeah, so it's just like, yes, have some tea. And I could be in the middle of a fucking forest and pour this shit out and it would still be piping hot like this and it's just fucking fantastic.
Delicious tea or deadly poison?
We'll find out. Tune in next time.
Yeah, so I guess the best way to describe Nidhoggr is as a lindworm with the addition of wings.
Mm.
He is one of many serpents that lives at the base of Yggdrasil, or is potentially trapped there between its three roots. There wasn't like a definitive whether he just hangs out or if he's like actually stuck. And then there are other serpents down there, but he's the most well-known of them. He constantly attacks the roots in an attempt to destroy the world tree, which puts him at odds with the Norn, who use the water from Urthr's well and the silt from around it to keep the roots from rotting.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Another passage mentions that he feasts on the blood and bodies in Naustrond. These were said to be murderers, adulterers, and oathbreakers. But some scholars believe this is a later addition with Christian influences because the concept of eternal punishment was not congruent with their ancient worldview. Nidhoggr is one of two beings that Ratatoskr delivers messages between.
Mm.
Ratatoskr takes messages from Nidhoggr to the eagle living in the branches of Yggdrasil, and vice versa. These messages apparently aggravate both the serpent and the eagle.
I really liked how that was described in the Norse mythology by Neil Gaiman version. I just thought it was really funny. It's like, he does it on purpose. He finds joy in it. Just like, hmm.
I've almost done Ratatoskr a couple times, but the thing is, like, that's really the only mention of him. There's so little about him. It's literally that he just runs up and down the tree delivering messages.
Right.
So Snorri Sturluson mentions Nidhoggr in the Skaldskaparmal, part of the Prose Edda, where he lists the Nidhoggr among other serpents, such as Fafnir, Jormungandr, Ofnir, and more. He also lists the Nidhoggr later in the same part as a name for a sword, which is just like a crazy name for a sword. But also how the name has come forward in time, because some games and shows don't have the actual creature in it as a monster. They have weapons named after him.
Right. There's a lot of that in God of War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that was one of the ones listed, but mm-hmm. like there's one of the games has like a bow named after him and stuff like that. So in the Völuspá, Nidhoggr is said to fly out of Yggdrasil's roots during Ragnarok with the bodies of men in his wings to join the Jotun side of the battle.
What?
Yeah. And in one version, he is killed by Thor's son, Magni.
Mm.
The Nidhoggr is used in all of the things. We've got video games like Final Fantasy XI and XIV, World of Warcraft, Jotun, Fate of the Norns, and two games actually called Nidhogg 1 and 2, which are fencing games.
Oh.
Devil May Cry 5, etc. It's also made an appearance in manga like High School D&D and To the Abandoned Sacred Beast. And in the anime Soul Eater, do you remember the ghost ship?
Yes.
Called Nidhogg.
Oh, okay.
He's a monster in the book The Magician, The Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas Flamel, which is way more recent. I remember seeing that on the bookshelves. And he is a card in Magic the Gathering and a creature in D&D, among many other things. I'm more surprised when a creature is not in either D&D or Magic the Gathering mm-hmm. because they're just such extensive games that they have most of the creatures covered. And that is
nice. Very nice.
And because it's a dragon, I'm going to make you draw it.
Okay. I was wondering as I was listening to the description, I'm like, am I drawing this? Yeah, sounds like it. Okay. We're going to take a short commercial break. And we're back. Ba-da-da. So today we're going to talk about the story of Brooke. Well, it says it's spelled B-R-O-K-K-R, so I don't know if it's supposed to actually be pronounced Brooker or Brock. Because the way it's pronounced in the places I've listened to the name pronounced, it's been just like Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother, Sindri, also possibly, like, there's other variations that actually refer to his brother as Eitri instead of Sindri, such as the Neil Gaiman Norse mythology book. Now, the two of them were dwarves, and the dwarves are in what is called Svartalfheim. And essentially, what we think of as dwarves being, like, short may not necessarily be what dwarves actually were in Norse mythology. They've also been referred to as black elves or dark elves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did talk. We did cover that at one point. So I'm probably not going to be drawing the brothers because I cannot trust myself to not copy God of War versions of these two. But what I will be drawing is what we're talking about today, and that is Mjolnir, which is a very fun story I've heard multiple times now through audiobooks and reading. So, without further ado, we will be telling this tale. The story of Brock and Sindri made most famous begins with Loki. Loki was feeling exceptionally bold one day.
You could say that.
Now, I just want to also forewarn you all, I've heard so many different versions of this, I actually literally just wrote it down the way I would say it, because I've listened to it so many times. So, Loki was feeling exceptionally bold one day, and decided to cut off the golden locks of Sif, goddess of wheat, fertility, and family. Also, none other than Thor's wife. As soon as Thor learned of this, he was enraged, like, full-on upset mode, okay? He seized Loki and demanded Loki fix the problem he had created or he would break every bone in Loki's body. Loki promised to do so by going down to the cavernous Svartalfheim, home of the dwarves. There he would find craftspeople to make a new magical head of hair for Sif, more beautiful than her previous hair. With this promise, Thor allowed Loki to go.
Specifically because he pulled it out by the roots and it would not grow back by itself.
No.
So he had to go find a way to fix it.
Yeah, essentially. Yes. So there in Svartalfheim, Loki found the dwarf sons of Ivaldi, who crafted such hair for him. Not only did they craft the hair, but also two other marvels. Skidbladnir, assembled from the pieces of wood, the best of all ships, which always has favorable winds and could be folded up and put in one's pocket, and Gungnir, also meaning swaying, the deadliest of all spears. Now, before I go further, in the book that we were reading yesterday, mm-hmm. they were mentioning that there were three sons of Ivaldi.
Mm-hmm.
From my research, it's a debatable thing on how many sons there actually were of Ivaldi.
Okay.
Which is why I'm not saying how many there were.
Okay.
In this version. Okay, so feeling still even more mischievous, Loki went to the brothers, Brock and Sindri.
Straight up, the only reason he was not murdered was because of the blood pact. He gets into so much shenanigans.
He does. And this is only one of the stories. He has so many. Okay. So, feeling even more mischievous, he goes to the brothers, Brock and Sindri. Now, what I found interesting is that their names literally mean metal worker and spark sprayer.
Hmm.
I thought that was kind of cool. So Loki waltzes in and starts taunting them, claiming that the brothers could never forge three new creations equal to those the sons of Ivaldi had created. He was so sure of this that Loki bet his head that they would not be able to. And with Loki's head on the line, the brothers accepted the bet. With that, the brothers went hard to work. And during their work, Loki disguised himself as a fly and stung Sindri's hand. When Sindri pulled his creation out of the fire, it was a living boar with golden hair. Thus, the boar was named Gullinbursti. Golden bristled is what that means. Who gave off light in the dark and could run better than any horse, even through water or air. Then Sindri placed another piece of gold on the fire as Brock worked the bellows. The fly then bit Brock on the neck, and Sindri drew out a beautiful ring called Draupnir, which means dripper. From this ring, every ninth night, 8 new gold rings of equal weight fell. Sindri then put iron on the hearth and told Brock for the next work, they must be especially meticulous, for a mistake on this piece would cost more than the previous two projects. Loki immediately stung Brock's eyelid, and the blood blocked the dwarf's eye. My comment was, what kind of fucking fly is this?
Loki in disguise.
That's what it is. Preventing Brock from seeing his work properly, Sindri produced a hammer of unsurpassing quality, which never missed its mark and would boomerang back to its owner once thrown. There was one flaw. The handle was short. Sindri cried out that this almost ruined the hammer, and the hammer was called Mjolnir, which means lightning. Despite this, they were certain their work was great. And with this, they made their way to Asgard to present their three gifts to claim Loki's head. Loki made it to the halls of Asgard prior to Brock and Sindri. So there he presented Thor with Sif's new hair, to Odin, the spear Gungnir, and lastly, to Freyr, was Skidbladnir. Then the brothers came, and they presented their gifts. To Odin, they presented the ring Draupnir. To Freyr, they presented Gullinbursti. And to Thor, of course, the well-known hammer, Mjolnir. Grateful for the gifts, the gods deemed those forged by the brothers Brock and Sindri superior, specifically Mjolnir being the most superior of them all. And Loki's head was owed to the brothers. As the dwarves approached Loki with their knives, Loki stated, "I promised you my head, not my neck." So in response, Brock and Sindri sewed Loki's mouth shut and returned to their forge. Although what dwarf meant in Norse never was specified to mean small, they were described as pitch black living in Svartalfheim. It was thought that the place was best described as a labyrinth of complex mines and forges, mostly noted for being excellent smiths and craftspeople. Evidence of their colossal strength is seen in four dwarves, Austri, which is the east, Vestri, which is the west, Nordri, which is the north, and Sudri, which is the south, holding the four corners of the sky.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Now, the lines between dwarves and elves are not certain, and for dwarves are sometimes called Svartalfar, Old Norse for black elves. Now, I didn't write down where these brothers are found because I haven't really seen them in anything too much other than
God of War,
because it's real obvious. But we all have seen Mjolnir in the Thor Marvel comics and
jewelry.
Now, what I found interesting is how they explain the reason for the way the hammer on the jewelry and such. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of funky because of the way the handle is presented, and I always thought it was weird how they used to draw Mjolnir with Thor in, like, older artwork, not, like, the Mjolnir we know from the Marvel Comics version. Mm-hmm. And it's because that it was made with a smaller handle from Loki.
Right. Loki. It was all Loki's messing up fault. How the bellows were working. But what was also kind of neat was they did specify in the story you told me last night,
right,
that besides never missing its mark and coming back, it could also be shrunk down and hidden under your shirt.
Yes, which I thought was very, very helpful in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something about when Thor received Mjolnir, it was one of the few times he actually smiled.
Thor doesn't smile.
That's what it said in the book.
Oh, that's sad.
I mean, it could be completely off and just, like, up into her interpretation, but I thought that was kind of cool that he was...
He was like, I like this.
I really like this hammer. This hammer's nice. Now, what I also find interesting is how they don't talk about the fact that he wears a belt that increases his strength.
Yeah.
Times two. And he also wears gloves so he can handle Mjolnir made of iron. Also a thing I didn't know happened. Because, like, my first experience with seeing the Norse mythology depicted anywhere was in the Marvel movies.
Right.
And come to find out that's a little bit on the far off. But still, I mean, it's nice to watch.
Artistic interpretation,
which is fine.
Yeah, I had never heard of the gloves, but they did mention the belt in this story, Jormungandr's story, where he goes to visit Ymir.
Yes.
Because that's the only way he's able to pick up that really heavy-ass cauldron to make the mead, right, is by tightening his belt to the last notch.
Yes. And in the story we read last night, they went a little bit more elaborate in what was being said between the gods. Like, Othin and Freyr were like, oh my gosh, that's like a really good gift, Mjolnir, because anybody that now is from Jotunheim, they see Thor with Mjolnir, they're gonna freak the fuck out. Which, with every single thing I've been reading, that's pretty much what ended up being the case. Like, as soon as they saw Mjolnir with, like, on Thor, they knew they were done, because their brothers and sisters and friends all died at the hand of Thor with Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. So that was a whole thing. What I also found funny is how the author, Neil Gaiman, he started off researching Norse mythology after he had really been into the comics.
Yeah.
And he was saying how he didn't realize how not so intellectual Thor was.
Yeah. He's a sturdy warrior.
He is a sturdy warrior type in the Norse mythos, and I can appreciate that. It'll be interesting to see how they depict that in the next God of War Ragnarok. I am so excited for that to come out. That's this year.
The game. Okay. My brain just replaced God of War with Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, that movie.
And I was like, that's Ben out. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to get a bigger hard drive.
We don't even have an external hard drive for our PS4 yet. And I know, like, the whole big thing is getting a PlayStation 5 or the new Xbox, but I've told everyone I am waiting until they get the kinks out of the first generation of these new consoles before I even think about investing in buying one.
Right.
I've seen too many horror stories. But my friends that have been able to purchase them have been, like, crying as soon as they're able to get their hands on one. Because it's so fucking hard to find one. My honest to goodness, my next, like, real big purchase, I'm just looking into, because I was talking to Leah about this. Probably an iPad with Procreate on it, because I keep watching the TikTokers. But it's gonna be a while, because I still don't have that kind of money. But if I had to choose between a PS5... and an iPad with Procreate on it, I'd choose the iPad with Procreate on it because I want to make all the pretty things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I love making these drawings. I absolutely love making them, and I love working on them with you and doing the watercolors and all that. But just think of all the things we could do.
I know.
And not just me, for the both of us, we can make some good shit. I'm just like, the possibilities are endless. But for now, we use Micron pens and mechanical pencils.
And watercolors. And
actual watercolors. Our house is a living art studio in a way.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It is good. Like, I still like using these mediums, and I'm still probably, even with getting, like, an iPad or whatever to do that stuff, I'll still draw out things. But it would be nice to be able to draw them out and then paint them on Procreate.
So one of the things I saw a girl do the other day was she was like, I cannot do faces on a tablet. But so she draws the face on paper, and then she uses her phone, the scan part of her phone in notes, to take the picture and then uploads it into Procreate so that she can finish the sketch as a virtual thing.
That's legit.
See, like, that's fair. Faces are hard.
They can be, yeah. Like, so for every single one of the goddesses I've done, and even for some of the men, I literally look up just random faces on, mm-hmm. on Google. Like, I'm just looking, okay, what face looks like it? Yeah, that feels about right. And even then, when I draw it out, it doesn't look like the face that I'm drawing.
No.
Because I put my own twist to it. I think it still turns out okay.
Yeah. She's one of my favorite.
Bridget?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think she's one of my favorite, too. I think she's, like, my favorite female I've drawn, for certain.
I was a little sad because in person, there's a lot more color depth, but when it gets scanned in, our scanner really bleaches the colors.
Oh, yeah.
So her hair looks like it's just a solid shade of red, and her dress looks like it's a solid shade of green.
It's
and
not.
There are a lot of color variations in the real one.
Yeah. That is the truth of that story, for real. And then I find that, is it Arte? Ati? Ati?
Ati, yeah.
Ati. Her hair. Oh my god. The galaxy hair, that turned fucking fantastic.
Thank you. So that came from, there were two origin stories for her. Either Father Zeus, no mother, or Mother Eris, no father. And Eris's mother is Nyx, no father. So Nyx is the goddess of night and darkness. So I was like, I'm going to give her hair that came from her grandmother and make it a galaxy, like black hair with a galaxy in it. And I gave her, they're hard to see in the picture because like I said, the scanner washes it out. But she also has freckles on her face and across her collarbone of stars as well. And she turned out pretty cute.
I love it. Like, because originally Leah was like, hey, Eliza, can you draw this? And I was like, I can. But she was already sketching it out and it looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, but a sketch always looks better than when I do the final product. So like I sketched it because I had the feel of motion that I wanted Eliza to draw.
Right.
And then I just drew it anyway.
And then even when you did draw it, you were upset because you didn't feel like it looked like she was running. It looked like she was power walking, as you put.
And I was she's like, a modern lady. She's taking care of her joints. She's power walking on men's heads and
enjoying her life. YOLO.
Causing delusions.
Oh my goodness. People, please stay safe out there. We know there's like fatigue of the fact that there's a pandemic going on.
Yep, that's a thing.
But as more variations occur, more mutations, and I know there are people of the belief that, you know, YOLO, if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. Please be safe. There are friends and family that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people have been affected by this. And I wish you all safety and happiness and health, whoever's listening to this, because it's been a freaking whirlwind for a lot of people. And that's what I gotta say about that. Please be safe. It's not just for yourselves. It's for other people as well.
So, reminders, everybody, make sure to check out our art for this week's entities on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own of these creatures, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. And remember to mention if you want a shout out of either a name or handle and where to find you, or if you would like to remain anonymous. You can also find us on our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, where you can message us as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more beings and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffeetablemythos. Or you can become a patron through patreon.com/coffeetablemythos. For right now, all donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, and share and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.